There you have it. President Donald Trump leaving the stage of a press conference that was an announcement here at the White House. Judge Neil Gorsuch is nominated to the Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch is the choice for Supreme Court Justice, a seat vacated by the passing of Justice Anton Scalia. Gorsuch is a 49-year-old judge. For the past 10 years, he's been serving on the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Colorado. Before that, he was in private practice as a lawyer in Washington, D.C.
Who do you need up, Mayor Scalia?
He is known to be a conservative, a judge who will hope to be the intellectual heir to Justice Scalia. He's been known to be similar in his views of what Scalia saw when it came to the Constitution. He's an originalist, the idea of sort of interpreting the Constitution as it was written by the founding fathers. He also attended Harvard Law. He was a classmate with President Barack Obama. A lot to learn about Judge Neil Gorsuch. He is the nomination for Supreme Court Justice, Donald Trump's first nomination. Let's bring in Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, both of which you can hear here on Monday's Touche. They are doing a special session today on the show. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. I know it's short notice. What do you think of the pick? Why don't we start with Chris? I mean, this is a lot of people. There are a lot of theories flying today, but this seems to be the choice that was sort of there all along.
This is the conventional, conservative, originalist, textualist choice by Donald Trump. Neil Gorsuch is a remarkably well-qualified individual to go to the court, and he had, I would say, very broad support among both movement conservatives, ideological conservatives, and the Republican Party as a whole. President Trump made the point that he was confirmed unanimously for a seat on the Circuit Court of Appeals out in Denver. And out there, he has written on a wide range of issues, and he has written very fluently, very clearly, very concisely. He's not ponderous. He's not sort of Borkian in the sense of the great philosopher type person. He's very practical, but he's also very, very intellectual. I think this is a brilliant choice, and I think he's going to be confirmed.
Dave Lundy, you know, as coming from it from the other side of the aisle, I mean, you could have expected, of course, a Republican, a conservative that Donald Trump was going to pick. This is sort of a – do you agree with Chris that this is a good pick for the base, for Republican base?
Well, I have to start by pointing out, you know, Chris talked about how he was confirmed unanimously for the appellate court. You know who else was confirmed unanimously for the appellate court? Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland, who President Obama nominated in February of last year, almost a full year ago, yeah. Which the Republicans stole that Supreme Court nomination from Barack Obama. So I think that you're going to find in the response from the Democrats of this nomination a basic look at the first of all, they're going to revisit the unfairness of what the Republicans right. did. Sean Spicer and President Trump have been talking about the obstruction of the Republicans or the obstruction of the Democrats as if this was like, oh, my God, how could you obstruct? And yet this is what this is exactly what Republicans did in stealing this Supreme Court seat. That having been said, Gorsuch is a yet another reactionary right winger like Alito, like Scalia. You know, Scalia was an originalist and a constitutionalist until the decisions required him not to be, such as in Bush v. Gore. It's not clear whether Gorsuch will follow in those footsteps. It was really interesting. You know, Donald Trump is always focused on the optics. This guy looks like a Supreme Court justice.
Sounds like one, too.
He sounds like a Supreme Court justice. Again, so did Merrick Garland. But he actually looks way older than he is. He's 49 years old. He's 3 years younger than me, but he looks about 10 years older.
How does this appointment change the court? Because this is the vacated seat of the late Justice Scalia. I mean, it's going to keep the court the way it was during the Obama administration.
He is going to be on the court in time to participate in some of the decisions of this term, which means that this term will not be completely hobbled by the 8-member thing. And just by the way, for the record, David is wrong. That's not a surprise. Nothing was stolen. Certainly not a seat on the Supreme Court. There was no compulsion of the Senate to act, and that's proven by the fact
that, other than the Constitution advising consent clause.
It's proven by the fact that there was no compulsion of the Senate to act, and it didn't act, and that was a political judgment made by the Senate. And that's. But I agree with David. He will be categorized incorrectly. He will be categorized as reactionary. He's not reactionary. I mean, to the extent people acquaint themselves with his decisions, with his work as a judge, which hasn't been overturned and hasn't been, you know, he's not somebody out there in the Denver Circuit Court of Appeals who sits alone, who has no collegial relationship with his other judges. I mean, he is fully a part of that court with both the Democrats and the Republicans.
So we've seen
what David is characterizing is just, you know, this is the Bork
but we've seen,
playbook,
but Chris, we've
chapter nine.
We've seen the last few judges that have come on the board, even Obama's picks, when you're talking to Sotomayor, and even before that, Justice Roberts. Both presidents and both parties sort of pushing forward someone that might be a little bit more middle of the road, might be a little bit more modest when it comes to Justice Roberts. Like, he will go right, but he also is moderate and be able. This is a little bit of a departure in the way that this is a more conservative judge. One that really has never had a history of being in the middle.
Well, historically, especially in recent history, conservative presidents appointed somebody who was more moderate first and then appointed somebody who was far more conservative. So they appointed Roberts first. Roberts is not a moderate. Roberts is a strong conservative. But he then appointed Alito, who is very much on the far right. And very much like Gorsuch. I mean, those guys are two peas in a pod. And look, you have to look at what some of the key issues that are going to come before the court are. Gorsuch was was the advocate, a strong advocate on the court for what Chris will call religious freedom and what I will call religious oppression when dealing with Obamacare and the contraceptive case with Hobby Lobby and deciding that a private corporation has religious rights. This was a significant departure from decades of jurisprudence, and it is declaring that religion is supreme, which is, of course, a violation of the First Amendment, but that's how they interpreted it. And then he did it again in this other case that came shortly thereafter. This guy is a far-right justice. Now, the question is, would Donald Trump ever appoint a moderate? You know, there were rumors today, some of the fun rumors today, where he was going to appoint both Gorsuch and Hardiman, who, by the way, can we just talk about the lack of dignity here? He brought both of these guys, Gorsuch and Hardiman, to Washington. Everybody was expecting like some apprentice.
Why humiliate the guy like that?
I know that that was a rumor. I don't know that that happened. What you heard from Gorsuch immediately was the consideration that had been extended to him by the Trump White House and the transition team throughout the entire process. So I think that David is reaching and grasping here. Look, either you've got a actual constitution that has to be interpreted as it was enacted. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't change, but what it means is that you start with what it meant when it was adopted and has it been amended since then. Either you start that way and either you respect that text or you make it up. And that's the divide on the court today. You've got four people up there and it's Justice Sotomayor, Justice Breyer, God love her, Justice Ginsburg, and Justice Kagan. And, you know, for them, the Constitution is a plastic document that is to be interpreted with any number of sources, including foreign law, including their political preferences, including their feelings. And that's replete. That's on the record. And that's the kind of jurisprudence David and the liberals like. Because why? They can't amend the thing to say what they want it to say. They can't get the result they want unless they just go ahead and load it up with their meaning.
David?
Alternatively, one might suggest that in 1789, when the Constitution was adopted and our country elected its first president. It was 87, it was adopted in 89, became president. George Washington became president. The world has changed a little bit, and the principles in the Constitution are the guiding principles, and those on my side of the aisle believe that those guiding principles need to adapt to modern reality. So, for example, one might say the right of the people, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the support of free people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, was great when it applied to a musket that took a minute to load, and that maybe now it's slightly different when you have semi-automatics you can get off the street.
So David is saying we don't have an Air Force because there wasn't an airplane in 1780. Oh, wait a minute. We do have an Air Force.
That's David not a constitutional issue.
David is saying we don't have, you know, nuclear reactors in our economy. Oh,
not
wait a minute.
Not a constitutional issue.
We do
issue.
Have nuclear react. I mean, David is saying that the ability of the federal government to adapt to these evolutions in human situations is impaired by, you know, as Jefferson once wrote, a set of clothes that we outgrew years and years ago. Well, of course, that's ridiculous because we've adapted the Constitution to these developments. What is David?
Yes, and in fact,
about
the people who've been adapting it are the people on my side of the aisle who recognize that it's a living document. And by the way, many of the founders and many of the people who helped write the Constitution took my point of view, not just your point of view.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio tonight as we analyze the nomination for Supreme Court Judge Neil Gorsuch. We'll take a quick break. We'll get an update on Veronica Carter's news tonight, and we'll come back with Dave and Chris. 312-981-7200 if you want to weigh in on the conversation here on the download on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
A special touche here on Tuesday night. Chris Roebling,
we're back.
Dave Lundy in studio.
Seems like only yesterday
we were back here. And
back
than ever.
Yeah, day two. Neil Gorsuch, Judge Gorsuch, is the president's choice for nominee for Supreme Court Justice, a seat vacated by the passing of Justice Anton Scalia. Gorsuch, 49 years old, for the past 10 years serving at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Colorado. Before that, he was in private practice in Washington, D.C.
I want to put a question to David.
Ooh,
look, the guy's he's a JD from Harvard. He's a PhD from Oxford. He clerked for two justices of the Supreme Court. He clerked for another judge, David Sentell, on, I think, the Fifth Circuit Court of
Appeals.
Didn't
we bounce David Sentell?
I'm asking you. Yeah. Are you going to concede the guy is qualified?
I'm going to concede the guy's intellectual qualifications. Yes.
Yeah, as a lawyer, he's qualified
sure.
to sit on. And if I was sitting here with a Democrat,
and as a lawyer, I'm not qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. Just to be clear,
I've never said that.
I'm saying that
so that you would hear.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you. but I mean, if it was President Clinton,
yes,
and she was coming forward,
yes,
with somebody of an equivalent CV. I would be saying, Justin, I have to admit to you, President Clinton has come up with somebody who is unquestionably qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. And I'm wondering if David
like
is going to say that.
Like Merrick Garland.
Well, Merrick Garland didn't have a PhD from Oxford.
But let me ask you.
Oh, so Merrick Garland wasn't qualified to serve on the Supreme Court?
No, he was unquestionably. I want to say that Merrick Garland, yeah, not as distinguished as Gorsuch, but he was still okay. A child of Niles Township.
But Chris.
And he was unquestionably qualified to sit on the Supreme
here's
Court.
Here's the issue. The issue is that the debate that people have over Supreme Court justice?
No,
not anymore.
Unqualified?
I think it is important for the listeners to know that even a partisan, a rabid partisan like Dave Lundy.
As opposed to a moderate centrist like Chris Roebling.
Exactly. Is here conceding the fact that Trump has nominated somebody who is qualified to serve on the Supreme Court. Everything after that is going to be Chuck Schumer wetting his pants.
No, sorry. You forfeited your right to get high and mighty on your high horse when you decided to steal the Supreme Court seat from Barack Obama, who's elected, by the way, to a four-year term, and you gave him 3 years where you said he's entitled to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and in the fourth year, you missed your window.
We're overlooking all of the comments by Democrats earlier in their careers.
Out of context.
Including Joe Biden.
Out of context.
Et cetera, saying,
and it was never in February.
And this,
February.
Yeah.
He was nominated in February.
David, of the great distinction between what the Democrats said when they said it and what the Republicans
Democrats
did.
Are angry. They're angry because, yes, there is the thought that this was a stolen seat. Do you see this choice, Judge Gorsuch, having a problem getting through confirmation
yes,
in the Senate?
Absolutely. There are not 60 votes. There will not be 60 votes. And the question will come to Mitch McConnell, who claims to be an institutionalist, whether to execute the nuclear option for Supreme Court justices. I will tell you that I have fear.
Tell us what that means.
So the nuclear option. Right now in the Senate, you can still filibuster a Supreme Court appointment. It requires 60 votes to have cloture to move on the debate.
To stop the
filibuster. There are not 60 votes to do so at this time. Because the Republicans obstructed so many of Obama's appointments, Harry Reid executed a mini nuclear option, one might say a tactical nuclear option, and ultimately they wound up reaching agreement with Mitch McConnell over what the parameters of that would be, and so lower appointments, executive appointments, were allowed to go through with 50, but for certain appointments, including the Supreme Court, they still required 60. And so as of right now, that is the way it works in the United States Senate. I personally believe that Donald Trump is going to try to force a nuclear option to get Gorsuch in with 50 plus one.
I personally believe that there is going to be an enormous effort on the part of Trump and his political operation to muster support. And part of this is rooted in Gorsuch being a Westerner from Colorado, practicing in Colorado, serving in Colorado in the 9th or 10th district out there. I think it's the 10th circuit. Why? Because there are a variety. There are something like 10 Democrat senators who are up in 2 years, who are running in states that were carried by Trump and whose constituencies are quite supportive of Trump. And they are going to try like crazy to go senator by senator and to get 8 or 9, whatever it takes of those, to come on board so that they get the 60. Now, at this moment, sitting here tonight with David, I kind of agree with David. I think the chance of that succeeding is low, but they're going to try it. They're going to try it like crazy. Now, when that fails, if it fails, then there is no question whatsoever. Senate Majority Leader McConnell has already told his members, say to your constituents, Trump's nominee will be confirmed. And when he says that to his members, what he means is, when necessary,
yeah,
we will go to 51 votes.
You know, I have to ask the question. I mean, is there any scenario, Dave, where Democrats will sort of lay low in letting this, because it was a seat that is vacated by the passing of a conservative judge, that they'll lay low and save this fight, this blow up, you know, crazy fight for the next judge?
Had the Republicans not done what they did with Merrick Garland, the answer is yes. Democrats, by nature, are more likely to go along with that kind of program. Republicans have demonstrated, though, over the last several years, that obstruction pays. Politically, obstruction pays off. It motivates the base.
But isn't there a controversy? I mean, there is a risk and a controversy that Donald Trump was elected to be someone who cleans up government, and what we see is a one side of the aisle being obstructionist in a new era.
That's never been a problem before. But look, let's be clear about this. We're not going to wind up fighting over whether Gorsuch, you know, has legal qualifications to serve. He does. He'll be viewed as highly qualified by the ABA. He's a highly degreed conservative. That's not the question. Again, so have a lot of people been. Unfortunately, where we are is that's no longer how we determine who's going to be on the Supreme Court. And so the question will be, is there a corollary to what Chris was describing in a Trump state? In a blue state, Are there going to be certain Republican senators of blue states that are also going to be under equal pressure? Because if you need 51 and you only have 52 members, it's not a lot of margin for error.
Not one Republican will defect on this vote. Take that to the bank, and I will buy you two guys dinner if I am wrong on that one. I was wrong on 40 states, although we won the election and David lost and he thought he would win. I am absolutely taking you two to dinner if I am wrong on one of the Republicans. Now, if there, God forbid that some guy dies and he gets replaced and there's a new Republican who's stuck in there by some governor or something, I'm not taking responsibility for that. Unknown.
I don't get a free cheeseburger for that.
Of the folks right now, there will not be one who defects. But I want to say, the reason this guy is going to go through and the reason the Democrats, rather than looking, the Democrats want to be absorbed by what happened last year to Merrick Garland. Be my guest. That's like going off to the Democratic National Committee chairman town hall and arguing over white privilege and hoarding white privilege and all of this ridiculousness that the Democrats have gotten themselves into. The rest of the country wants some sort of constitutional restraint on the size, the scope, and the activity of the federal government. The federal government lost the last election. The government party was the Obama-Clinton party. They lost that election.
Well, let's continue to talk about that. We'll take a quick break. Dave, you'll have the first word coming out on that because I can already see you. Like, you're getting real tense.
Yeah, okay, I'll wait.
He loves government.
He loves
government. It's right after Jen. And Eli and the family.
And Max. Don't forget Max.
Max, baby.
And my mom.
And your mom.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling.
You love
special
your mom.
Touche,
even though
after,
you're a Democrat.
After the announcement of Judge Neil Gorsuch, who is the nominee to the Supreme Court. We'll have more with these guys coming up after the break. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. Touche, a special touche here on Tuesday night on 720 WGN as we talk about President Trump's announcement tonight. Judge Neil Gorsuch is President Trump's choice for nominee for Supreme Court Justice, a seat vacated by the late Justice Anton Scalia. Gorsuch, 49 years old, was at the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Colorado before that in private practice, has a long, he's clerked. He's worked in for some of the Supreme Court judges. He's well known, and his qualifications work out. But where we left the conversation was one about, we look at what could be a torturous nomination process, especially after what happened to Democrats with Merrick Garland, who was not allowed even to be brought up in the Senate when under President Obama last year. How do you move? What Chris had said before we had gone to break was that this election was essentially a mandate the federal government lost. They lost the debate there. They lost the election. Donald Trump won. What do you say to the idea that really the American people don't want to see a fight in Congress over this nomination?
So here's the thing. The American people don't want to see a lot of things that they've seen in the last 12 days. It's why you have the president has achieved the record-setting pace to the 50% plus disapproval rating. Literally, it took Bill Clinton 532 days to hit 50% disapproval rating. It took Donald Trump 8 days. This is a singularly unpopular president.
And we talked about it yesterday. There's a lot about incompetence.
This is crazy. I mean,
it's not crazy. Those are the numbers.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. One second. David is ignoring the entire period, the interregnum from the election to the inauguration, which was a nonstop mainstream media Democrat attempt to delegitimize Donald Trump.
No, it was a nonstop Donald Trump refusal to try to embrace the other side.
Well, I want to say that's not what he said on the day of the election, and that's not what he said throughout the period.
It is what he said in his inaugural address.
That's not what he said in the inaugural address either. And the point here about Gorsuch is Gorsuch believes in a plain reading of the Constitution. And what the Constitution is there not to put the federal government into every small business of America, or every person and every decision in America and every bathroom in America and every crazy whatever you want to say. The federal government is there to do limited and specified things that are enumerated in the Constitution.
But why? I guess as a layman, I asked the question. I asked it to both of you. Well, I know what you're talking about in the bathroom and the concept. We even talked a little bit earlier about religious freedoms. I understand that. But the reason the federal government is involved in these things is because we've seen discrimination from power, from people with money, people who have put other groups down. And government has come in to say, hey, the Constitution says we all have equal rights. They have to come in and be able to do this, or otherwise we just run rampant and people are not, we're back to a separate but equal. People use different, water fountains.
Right. Well, this gets to what Chris and I were arguing during the break, which is that the notion of those who advocate so-called religious freedom is that religion should trump, no pun intended, religion should trump the rights of gay people to, you know, go get their cake wherever. And that, in fact, you should have a right to refuse service to gay people. And the argument that I made is that there is zero difference, literally zero difference between that and saying, well, you have a right to an education. It's separate. It's equal, but it's separate. But here's the thing about this guy, Gorsuch. So what Chris describes as the originalist and all that other stuff is really just an excuse for achieving a result you want and coming up with logic to get there. But here's what Gorsuch said in a lecture at Case Western Reserve Law School.
We're going to get a lot of this in the next couple of days.
You are absolutely going to get a lot of this. He said, judges should strive to apply the law as it is, focusing backward, not forward, and looking to text, structure, and history to decide what a reasonable reader at the time of the events in question would have understood the law to be. And it's like this whole notion, and this is what all conservatives are. It's all about looking backwards. It's all about Trump.
Donald Trump said
he's trying to return, make America great again.
David,
again implies backwards.
Wrong.
No, it's not wrong. Again, you keep saying these
wrong.
Things
based on
the actual meaning of words.
Excuse
these
me.
These guys are riled up tonight. I love it.
David.
I hope Trump does
in
press
your,
prime
your
time
private
every night.
Hold on a second. David, in your private life, you have clients. You and the clients agree to contracts. So because you do so well with your clients, they stay with you for years, and they just keep extending the contract. So 5 years into the relationship, the question is the contract on that fifth year mean what it said when you signed it, or does it mean something that is not on the page that is now combobulated in some sort of, you know, lunch that you're having with the client in year five? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. The contract means what it said when you signed it.
Well, it's funny you should say that, but one of us is a recovering lawyer here. And in fact, Chris, if over the course of 5 years there was a practice that you did something that was different. No.
Yeah.
You set this one up, buddy. I'm hoisting you on your own petard. You said the contract doesn't necessarily mean that, because if you have a practice over the course of those 5 years that is different, the practice rules over what the words on the page are. That is exactly the point, and that is exactly what we're talking about with interpreting the principles, not necessarily the words.
Okay, so here's con law 101, which
that was an
I'm not
oops
qualified
for Chris.
To, but no, it's not an oops because, and I'll tell you why, Constitution is the basic law of the land, and your contract is a private document between you and somebody else. And it is, and the contract is going to be interpreted by the judge in light of not just what it says, but how you and your client have been dealing with each other. I'm trying to deal with your misrepresentation of how people read a constitution, or for that matter, a statute. And the truth is, Gorsuch is a lot closer to the average American who sits down and reads the Constitution and says, it says this, that must be what it means. The liberal thing is, it says that, but actually what it means is what we want it to say to get to our
right.
Predetermined results.
First thing first, and I want to just do this for the clarity of all media, average Americans can be liberals too. You guys throw that out all the time where you always say the average American, and what you really mean is conservatives.
I'm talking about the non-elite, non-Columbia Law School grad, non-Time magazine
writer. Yeah, they believe in gay marriage, so nice try.
No, all I'm saying is
gay marriage is the law of the land, David. I got news for you.
All right, so let's get to we only have a couple minutes left here. I'm interested as we move forward, and even in a day's time, we've seen more news come out.
Here's what's not going to happen. I got to say this. Oh, yeah. A guy like Gorsuch, and this everybody has now fully, I think, Merrick Garland is a good example of this. You're back in the days of Robert Bork, the Democrats went to the garbage can, literally, to find out things he threw away. The Democrats went to Errol's video rental store on MacArthur Boulevard.
Again here, yeah.
And they tried to find out, did he rent porn? Did he rent, you know, McCabe and Mrs. Miller or what, you know, whatever the heck it was. And then they went and they used that against him, if you can believe it. They went, you know, Gorsuch was very kind to the Senate, saying it's the world's greatest deliberative body. Maybe it once was. It surely hasn't been since what Biden did to Bork. Okay, but luckily Biden's gone. Bork, unfortunately, God rest his soul, is gone. But what you're not going to have are any revelations about Judge Gorsuch, and they're going to and the Democrats are going. The Democrats will be stuck with the position that they don't want him because they don't like his ideas, and they will not be able to say he's a dummy.
Chris, I would even say it has nothing to do with his ideas. This is political payback for what happened over the course of the last year. That's what Dave's been saying this whole time.
Well, if they say that, then that's...
How do you reconcile that? Because it seems to me like Mitch McConnell put his nose up in the air, and they acted as if we are going to be the obstructionist party for the future. And now they're turning around and going, where's the fairness, guys? That's, I think, what Dave is making a point of.
I'm not expecting any fairness. And I told you that they were not going to get to 60. And I'm not expecting, quote, fairness. I'm not expecting the Democrats to do their job.
But the point I was making earlier about Donald Trump's unpopularity, which is going to continue to go up, is that...
Write that down. Get what was it? 758.
And 43 seconds. Anyway, Donald Trump's unpopularity will give the Democrats the latitude to reject this nomination, and there will be no political consequences.
They will reject it. There is no question about it. He will be confirmed, and the court will be back to where people want.
Only if they exercise the nuclear option.
So much to talk about. I don't know. We were able to get two touches in this week. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, thanks for coming in for the special edition of Touche after tonight's announcement. Judge Neil Gorsuch nominated to the Supreme Court. We will have much, much more on this. Guys, thanks so much. See you next week.
Thanks, Justin.